Test, track, and trace, the next front in the battle against COVID-19. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Starting today on an island off England's south coast, the country is trialing a contact tracing app aimed at limiting the spread of coronavirus. It comes at the same time research by French doctors suggests the virus was in France by the end of December, 4 weeks before the first officially recorded case. A hospital in Paris re-examined old swab samples from pneumonia patients who tested negative for the flu. Out of 24 samples, one was positive for COVID-19. The BBC's Stephen Ryan explains why UK authorities see contact tracing as a promising tool in the ongoing fight to contain the pandemic.
This smartphone app, developed by the digital team at England's National Health Service, will log any time a user physically passes someone else using the app. So if you report symptoms, the app alerts your contacts from the last 7 days to self-isolate. Unlike apps developed by Apple and Google, which other countries use, England's app uses a centralised database. That, lawyer Matthew Ryder QC says, raises privacy concerns.
If Germany, the US, Italy can all do the job that we want to do with a decentralised system, we need to understand why the UK needs to take a different system.
More traditional contact tracing with staff in call centres will also be stepped up with an extra 18,000 hires. Disease control specialist Professor Paul Hunter says an app like this is also part of a wider track and trace ecosystem.
Whatever app we use, we have to rely on the existing system of local contact tracing that comes within the responsibilities of the local directors of public health.
If successful in this trial, the app will be rolled out across England. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
To India now, which has recorded its biggest daily jump in coronavirus cases and fatalities. That's as the country started to relax its 6-week lockdown. But with markets around the world still closed, the Indian export sector is suffering huge losses too. The BBC's Aranadeh Mukherjee reports.
It feels strange to walk through what is ordinarily a loud factory. Since the lockdown, all that's left is a haunting silence here in a workshop in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh. Work is down to zero. There are unfinished clothes piled up, could be symbolic of the financial losses piling up simultaneously. Most of the sporting equipment and apparel was exported to the US and Europe. But now customers from the West are not placing orders due to lockdowns in their own countries. The factory owner, Mr. Manik Mahajan, tells me he is worried because he is fast running out of cash.
I have to pay salary and wages for 300 people, and that comes to be approximately $40,000 for a month.
His concerns will have a direct impact on the likes of Bharti, one of the over 8 million women workers powering the Indian apparel export industry in India. She explains just how worrying the situation is for sole family breadwinners like her.
It is very difficult to meet all expenses. I don't have parents. So the entire financial burden is on me. I don't know if we will be paid in the days and weeks ahead.
Merchandise exports contribute to 16% of India's GDP, and the overall sector employs over 100 million people. The head of the Federation of Indian Exports Organization, Mr. Sharad Saraf, says without a government stimulus package, recovery will be impossible.
Unless we allow 25, 30% or 40% of industry to start in a reasonable way, then only I think the economic recovery will happen, and that also will take at least 3 months.
India's lockdown is costing the economy nearly $5 billion daily. While the government has eased restrictions in areas with no COVID-19 cases, experts say return to complete normalcy is months, if not years away. The government says it's preparing for a second wave of infections in May and June.
Aranadeh Mukherjee there. Looser coronavirus lockdowns are sending global stocks and oil prices higher this morning. Shares of European oil and gas giants are up between 3 and 4% on hopes of growing demand as travel restrictions are relaxed. Meanwhile, Germany's top court said the ECB's long-running bond buying program was legal, but called for a review into whether asset purchases were a proportionate response to the fiscal and economic policy objectives. The court called for Germany's central bank to sell bonds already purchased, but possibly on a coordinated level with the rest of the Eurozone. Eurozone. Meanwhile, talks between the UK and the US on a post-Brexit free trade deal restart today. Both sides will be looking at options that could help alleviate the economic crunch of the coronavirus pandemic. Fresh figures show the UK government is now paying wages of nearly a quarter of the country's workforce. It's part of a furloughing scheme funding salaries for workers forced to stay home during lockdown. But when it comes to finding an economic salve in a new trade deal, the BBC's Andrew Walker says benefits could be limited.
It would have some sort of benefit in terms of easing barriers to exports from both sides, but bear in mind that the British government's own analysis suggests a gain of something like 0.2% of GDP over 15 years. So the gains undoubtedly could be worthwhile, but I don't think they're going to be game-changing in terms of the near-term recovery.
How do you do a trade deal in this environment? Have the goals for both sides shifted in light of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, I have no doubt the pandemic means that both sides will be keen to point to the trade talks as a bright spot, but they still have the same things that they've got to deal with in terms of new competition or food standards that they really would rather not have to deal with. So those difficult trade-offs still have to be made.
Plenty of time for negotiations, this time over video link. The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, Victoria.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.